love you. There you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Baruchatah Adonai. Blessed is the Lord. Amen. Yes. Father, this morning as we come together and we have praised your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, this morning I pray that within the sound of my voice that these who are here hear and see you, Lord. May I hide behind the cross, O Lord, that you might find me and lift me up as an instrument of obedience in your hands. Play me, Lord. Play me today. May I be an extension like a lightning rod. Holy Spirit, come and extend and flow through the word through me. That these whom are here may receive of you all the good gifts, all those wondrous, wonder-working things. In the resurrection power of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, what a pleasure to be with you. I can't begin to tell you what a wondrous experience it's been to come and to be able to be here for over a week and to see the mighty hand of God at work in your land. I've had the privilege to be used of God as I've been toured about from sea to sea and shore to shore, northeast, south, and west of your island of Lewis, and done that which God has asked of me, but He is the one that has cleansed your land. Hallelujah. He's preparing, and I pray, how many of you actually heard last week, or how many did not? Let's do it that way. How many do not know why God sent me here? It's okay, raise your hand. Okay. All right. The Lord began, I'm going to make this quick as I can to explain to you, to catch you up with these, because God has given me a message of tooling for you all as you have a great and mighty work ahead of you. But the Lord, over 20 years ago, began to put a burden on my heart for the United Kingdom and for Scotland and for Ireland, for this part of your area of the world. And I had a map, and I was pastoring. I began to pray over that map, and I would wail and be in travail and be prostrate. In those days, I was in good shape. I could jump, you know, and do 100, you know. And so anyway, I began to pray over that map and had to replace it and had a laminated map. That's one covered in plastic. And I prayed over it for 3 to 4 years as I pastored, and then finally, as the years went by, I continued to wonder. I never knew exactly why. I didn't question God, but I wondered, why is my burden so rich for this land, for you as a people? And in the last decade or more of my life, my whole life has been full of lots of attack of my physical body. You must know that 6 months to a year ago, it would be impossible for me to stand before you. And I've spent a great deal of time in a wheelchair, electric wheelchair, and my body is full of all kinds of good surgical metals and equipment. The Lord is the one that has healed me. And I remind you that physicians only have a license to say practicing medicine. They use ointments. They use tools. They use whatever's at their disposal, and praise God for technology. Hallelujah. But yet it is the healer, Jehovah Rapha himself, that heals the cells and the tissues. Can these bones live? God said to me. Hallelujah. And I stand before you, and I've traveled over 7,000 miles by flight to just simply be obedient to what God has called me to do. There are teams of people back behind me from House of David, is a Christian embassy. And they've sent people for years. It's existed 17, 18 years. But they just officially were made a worldwide embassy to send those who are called and have a burden to the nations. And what that means is they commission you and they lay hands on you. It's you and God that work out the rest. Yeah. Hallelujah. So that is how I got here. But the message was to honor God and take back the land. So I've been strategically place to place and shore to shore upon this island, claiming it back, closing the portholes to the underworld for a millennium. The Lord will take care of it when it opens up again the next time. Hallelujah. Yeah. And also to open the gates of heaven, that the promise that God has called me here to tell you, this is knowingly to those of you who know the 70th anniversary of the great Hebrides revival, which truly was an awakening because the Spirit of God went from beyond your isle to other places in the world. America is a great recipient of that love, of that wondrous outpouring of God. And it's my pleasure to represent not only myself and my church, but the nation of America to come and love you. Because God says He loves you, Scotland. He loves you, Scottish people. And He wants to do a wondrous work, and He is beginning it. It has begun. The Lord told me it had begun. On December the 6th, during the feast, the Hebrew Feast of Lights, after petitioning the Lord, He came and He spent time with me and visited me and made it clear it has begun. But you must believe to receive. And what He has sent me here for in such a hurried way, why I'm here now, why now? I have a daughter getting married next month. My life has gotten a little complex of late. It's not exactly convenient, I'll use that word. But the Lord said, if you don't go, I'll send somebody else. Friends, He loves you. And I want to tell you, it's begun. We've witnessed it since I've been here. I'm seeing it, I'm hearing it. And the Lord is going to rebirth that Spirit, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you as a people and upon your land. And not to be selfish with it, you must understand that as I pass this baton to you, that you now become responsible. It now becomes your place and your part in delivering that message to your friends and your family and your neighbors and the people of your land. It only, I sat in front of a good warm fire, didn't I, sister? And as I observed that fire, I realized as it put forth heat that it was started with just a flicker of flame. But I observed it as it burned hot and intense, orange in color. You could not lay your hands near it. The Holy Spirit of God is coming to do that in the hearts and the spirit and the souls of you as a people. The Spirit of the Lord has been moving, circumventing this globe, and began in Asia over a year and a half ago, and nation to nation. He's coming around the globe, and He's coming, and He's blessing. And soon, when He leaves this most far western edge of Europe, that land in which I live, and Canada lay to the west, our anticipation, we've already begun. We've already seen even there God's preparations of the coming of the Lord. He wants His souls back. He wants His souls back. I tell you a third time, the Lord saith, I want my souls back, the Lord says. And there lieth the responsibility to you. And that's the message. Not too complicated. He's taken back the land. And you're to be in a case of expectancy. Yeah. Better said, you're pregnant with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, you can't be in a marriage and come home to your husband, ladies, and say, "Well, I think I'm a little bit pregnant." No. That's not the way it works. You come home, you can't be a little bit, and you're excited, and you tell your loved one, "I'm pregnant. I'm heavy with child." You're going to make a delivery, you see.
And the Spirit of God is doing the delivering. It's your job to share the message. He's the one that breathes the breath of life into a babe when it comes from a womb. He's the Holy Spirit who breathes the breath of fire and life into this world. And as you've received Christ, He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And He said that He had left something special. And it's the something special that is going to pour out in a great way upon you and your countrymen and this land again. It's 9 months from now till November. And November is the 70th anniversary of the birthing of the Hebrides Revival in the Barvis area portion of your isle here. This week I've had the good tidings to be in the home of several. But I will say this, and I'll share it for later. God has preordained every step. I have walked in God's favor now for 2 months in preparation, only to come here. And I tell you the truth, God has been more real to me than you are. He's rich in love and compassion. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. For those of you who like to escalate through the Word, you might be better off today to have pen and paper, because I may get pretty busy about it. But recorded in here in John is the first and most important thing. We're going to go into the message. I hope that's caught you up who did not know, and you will realize how important this is. You see, God's told me, you need tooling. I can't just hand you the baton and walk away. And I think that wonderful pastor of yours, and Donnie and Katrina, and to surrender this pulpit this day, to allow me the privilege, even with His presence not being here. You see, I believe that that's such a compliment to Jesus. He saw Jesus in me and trusted Him in me to do this. Yeah. And with great honor, I stand here before you in the name of our Lord and thankfulness and gratitude to your wonderful pastor. And He's going to need your help.
Yes.
Listen to me. Say it with me. Pastor,
myself.
It needs my help.
Yeah.
And here's the title of the message, and here's why. People. Need the Lord.
The Lord.
Hallelujah. All right. Here we find in John chapter 15, verse 12, He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater hath no man," no love greater, He says, "than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." He says, Jesus, you are my friends. I can say that now. You are my friends. Hallelujah. If you do whatsoever I command you, Jesus says. And finally, down in verse 17, He says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." He's pretty plain and simple about it, beloved. My beloved friends, love is the key and the foundation to everything that's about our Lord.
That's right.
If you don't obtain and have the joy of the Lord being your strength, like our song said,
yeah.
I couldn't even dance. I know it's not too pretty, but I like it. Hallelujah. The Lord is our strength through His joy. And if you have joy, you've got His love. And if you've got His love, you're going to have joy. You just can't run from it. It's a party. And the Lord wants you to know that it's that form of thing. Then not only to the world and the lost, we should know that's our calling. According to Matthew chapter 28, that the Great Commission is, "Go ye into all the world."
Yes.
Go to the other nations. Hallelujah, Lord, I got to come to Scotland. I may learn to love plaid. Or tweed, you call it. Hallelujah. And so finally, I realize as reading these scriptures, it's important and pertinent to you to comprehend the love. The love goes beyond. There's too much As I've been here, I've listened, I've watched, I hear, I see the atmosphere on this island. It's going to change. Pride and unforgiveness is about to be blown away. The Holy Spirit, God will no longer tolerate. God will not provide the atmosphere and show up and bring His presence and then have His glory come. Where pride and unforgiveness exist, you see. But I warn you, in 5779 is the year of the Hebrew calendar. 2019, this is the year of judgment. And judgment, the Word of God says, begins in the house of God. You must examine yourselves every day as you partake of the Lord's Supper. Every day. And when you do so, you realize, you look into that mirror and you say, God, you're going to have to help me. You know, if you've got aught or difficulty with each other, or you know the past about someone, and especially in the house of God, you've got to let go of that. You cannot hold on to images and pictures of the past where people have failed. In fact, the only good about that is their tooling is designed because they did fail. Our failures, God uses to lift us up and to take what we have failed at to give us the loving compassion to be able to reach out to others that may have the same problem.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And as I told you last week, repentance is not a dirty word.
Right.
It's not. It simply means turn around.
Yeah.
Gee, the last time I looked and read the book, there's not but one that was perfect. It does no good to hide and hold your sin. Somebody's going to find out anyway. And then, if you find it out, you're to help your brothers and sisters and raise them up from the place they're at. Because you see, it's bigger than you in this church. It's bigger than you as a body. Because you're called to pass on the expectancy of God the Holy Spirit's coming to love your neighbors and the lost and your friends and your community and your co-workers and all those in your land. Hallelujah. Come on now. American preachers like to have a witness. The more you say something, amen or whatever, it's like saying, sick them to a hound dog. Well, to you, a rabbit dog. Go, Beagle, go. Hallelujah. Yes. God is good. God wants you to have the joy of the Lord. Laugh and let go. Don't let the world outside of your love for God tell you you have to be so prim and proper. I tell you the truth, you become so heavenly good, you're no earthly good. So heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. There's a reasonable amount of reverence and respect to be given appropriate time. But, the world is looking for real. Since I've been here, I have repeatedly said, well, I know it's the Lord or God that's healed me. But I don't choose to believe in Him. I need to see a sign. My goodness. When I get healed, I know I've seen the sign. But the difference is they need salvation, you see.
Amen.
And some of the people you come in contact with will be the only Jesus that they will see. You see. You may very well be the only Jesus that they see that day. You hear me? Huh? You see, Jesus, He didn't stay in one place and expect them all to come to Him, although it did happen.
Yeah.
But you've got to be like Jesus. You don't follow Jesus. You've got to go out and you go to where the people are.
The
woman was at the well.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus was in a tree. Peter was beside the Sea of Galilee. You see, you have to go. You have to trust God and go. Even Peter, I'm sure he sweat bullets when the stormy sea. And Jesus says, come out here with me, Peter. Yeah. Well, as you notice, nobody else got out of the boat. But he swung his legs over. That's how I felt when I came here to see you. I said, Lord, I'm just going to swing both my legs over the side of this boat, and I'm going to go out there with you and Peter, and here I am. Amen. This is a witness to you. Am I something special? I'll tell you. The only thing special about me is my wife will take me back when I get home. And better than that, my pup will lick and love and hug me. But God is always with me. My dog and my wife and the ones I love, they can't always be with me. But my Lord is always with me. He's with you if you choose Him to be.
That's right.
And finally, I'm reminded quickly before we move from the subject of love. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 is charity. The book of love, the chapter of love, the chapter of charity is love. The first verse says, "Oh, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I have not love if I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You see, it requires works. If you really love somebody, they're going to see it and feel it because you extend it to them. It may be a handshake and gesture, arm around them while they cry and weep, a note when they need a note, a surprise visit, an invitation to a meal. Thank you all who have graced me with a meal in your home. Hallelujah. And believe me, I'm not going to tell them back home how wonderful the mutton stew is because I don't want to come and they may eat it all up. But you see, this responsibility falls on you and me. That's why I can say, I love you. I'm here because I love you. Greater than that love, though, is love. Jesus, God in heaven, your Creator, your Savior, the Lord, the Creator of the universe loves you. That love is so intense and so incredible. He can give you, through the authority of His love, He gives you the ability to call those things that aren't as though they are here on earth. To pray where there's a need. You know, I can't imagine the reluctancy of people to pray when there's a great need. Now, I'm talking the need of a miracle.
Yeah.
And, you have many. Don't you?
Yeah.
Say yes, Brother Brian.
Yes.
You know what the greatest part about needing a miracle is? It requires a need for the Lord to enact and perform that miracle. He doesn't just go around doing it for showing off. If you have a need for a miracle, it's one of the greatest places to be. If you're in the presence of one that's in need of a miracle, you have strategically, divinely, divine appointment been put in that place to pray and to call upon Him to meet that need.
Yes.
And that miracle, you're going to begin to see one after another, after another, after another. And it's going to increase like you've never seen in your entire lifetime because God is about to birth and release that Spirit, His Spirit, in full impact. In other words, time is late. And God says, look, if the church ain't going to do it, I'm going to come like a mighty rushing wind, and I'm going to sweep through the church and the land, and whoever be for me, be with me. Hallelujah. So moving on, I'd like you to turn with me to the core of instruction. You need instruction. Say, I need instruction, Lord. Say, what do I do, Lord? Say, what do I do, Lord? You give this case of expectancy. How do I take it? And share it. What does it require? And I'll tell you the answer is His Word. All good instructions in the Word. So, if you'll turn to Mark chapter 2 with me. Here we'll look at a text with four C's, like the third letter of the alphabet. Four C's today that are going to encourage you and tool you to give you a Christian toolbox to operate. And in some of your cases, you're going to say, this is 101, I'm long in the tooth with understanding. You're never too old nor young to learn again. One thing I know, He is the Word. Amen. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is Jesus, the living Word of God. He's alive. Hallelujah. So when we put it to work, we see Him change the atmosphere. The atmosphere. You ever walk in a place? Come on, loosen up a little bit. You ever go in a doctor's office or a hospital? Or in a place where elderly are housed. And you get in there and it's just like, poof. I mean, you can feel the weight of it. It's like doom and gloom rest. And there's just this horrible atmosphere. You know, I walk into someone's home. I pray my home. I anoint that thing with oil. I blow the shofar and all every corner. I mean, daily, you know. I just get after it because I want people to come into my home and sense the presence of God. Hallelujah. The sanctuary is in you, first of all. Oh, that wasn't a good answer. I said the house of God, the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit is you.
Amen.
You're the temple. Yeah. You're the church.
Yeah.
It's not a building. So we see here, before we start chapter 2, alluding to it, Jesus is seen with someone that wasn't clean. Hmm? How many times do people like to rail accusations? I saw so and so. Oh, they were over it. No, 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 no. Oh, and that person, oh, they're just, they shouldn't even ever light a foot in the doorway of God's house. Pitiful. Jesus was seen with tax collectors, ladies of the night. And you think you're too good because He's your Savior? What's wrong with you? I challenge you. That's all of us. I don't care who we are. Everybody falls symptom to it sometime or another. But we need to get over that and move into how Jesus loved everybody.
Yes.
He said, if I left the 99, one's worth it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, friends. Pride and unforgiveness, you've got to get over what other people think. This land has, God's going to burn up that spirit that judge, you know, is judgmental. Oh, I can't be seen doing this. I can't be seen doing that. And in America, we call it blue laws where you can't do this on Sunday. You can't do that on Sunday. Oh, come on. Every day is the Sabbath.
Right.
If we were legalists, the true Sabbath's not Sunday. It's Friday night.
That's right.
Sundown to sundown Saturday.
Uh-huh.
I practice it. But I don't do it because it's the law. I do it because I love God and I enjoy it and I'm blessed by it. Plus, it frees me up on Sundays, and I can do this.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God's an accommodator. He's a lot of things. But this one had leprosy, and nobody was to touch him. But Jesus spoke a word and said, I will, in verse 41 of 11, or no, excuse me, chapter 1. And he says, and Jesus did this with compassion, he said, be thou clean. Well, ends up, he says again there in the next verse, he says, see thou, say nothing to a man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. He tells him, don't go tell anybody. Now, why would the Lord do that? I mean, here I am telling you, you need to go tell everybody. But the Lord's telling this guy at this time, don't go do that. And in verse 45, the man went out and he began to publish it. Did everybody here know what publish means? Yeah? I mean, he's taking it to the world. And when he does so, there's a blaze about the matter. You see, he was on fire, like brother was speaking of a little earlier about being on fire. By the way, God gave me a word for you. In Luke, the last chapter of Luke 24, I believe. I got to stop for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the word for you, my brother, is verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Huh? Did not our hearts burn within us? There's the compliment to what you were trying to say. Hallelujah. For those of you who want to hear the testimony, go see DJ. All right. So here it is. He's publishing this, and people are hearing about it. And you know what? You just can't keep Jesus to yourself.
Well, look, friends, if you have an encounter with the living God, you're going to tell somebody. If you're healed and touched by the healer himself, I'm telling you, you just aren't going to keep quiet about it. And you know, the more Jesus had told him, it appears to be quiet, not tell anybody. It looks like he went overtime to me. Huh? Hallelujah. So finally we see here as he did this, he leads the way for this. In beginning in chapter 2, and then again he entered into Capernaum after some days and it was noised. In other words, there was a ruckus going on in the atmosphere. Everybody was talking about him. Everybody was talking about what he did for the leper. And it says it went on for some days and it was noise that he was in the house. All right, friends. When God is in the house, when Jesus is in the house, somebody is going to tell somebody. And people are going to find out that the Lord is here. When the Spirit of God and the power of God comes, it gets out. You can't keep it quiet. You want to shout from the roofs. You want to holler from the shores. You want to tell everybody, my King is here.
Amen.
Glory.
And that's what's getting ready to happen. Right here.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you're commissioned to share this. And the Bible says in verse 2, then straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not as much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. You see, Jesus did. When people come, Jesus will do what Jesus does.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So now we see in verse 3, it's getting intense. It says, and they came to him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. First of all, I want you to take note that it was more than one. It was more than two. It was more than three. The Bible says four people were so at one and so agreement and so aligned and had a burden so bad for one person, a sick man with palsy, that they loaded him up and they took him to where Jesus was at. And when they got there, it was so full and so pressed and so blocked. And they thought, oh my, here we've come with this man that we love. And we want to bring him before the King that we love. But everything were cut off. Oh my goodness, how many people would have said your glass is half empty and loaded up the man and left?
Yeah.
I tell you the truth, people aren't willing, Christians aren't willing today to go the extra mile.
That's right.
If you can even get four to agree in any one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, that's good preaching. So we see here that they come. You see, the thing that's established about bringing one, what's established here is the first of the four C's. C number one, C, third letter of the alphabet, is they cared.
Yeah.
The Lord's asking you today, do you care?
Yes.
Do you really care?
Yes.
Do you care enough? Do you care enough that your loved ones or your neighbors or those who are sick, and you know the healer and he's healed you and others, do you care enough to bring those people before the Lord?
Yes.
They're not going to walk on their own. Some of them got palsy.
Yeah.
Hear me now. You got to get serious to bring the sick before the Lord. You got to have faith and confidence. You got to know that you know that your healer can take care of them. And with that, you try to bring them before Jesus.
Amen.
When the crowds gather and the doors are blocked, like they find it. Let's see what they do. So they care. I'm looking at an explanation of they cared. And I like to use John 3:18 as a tool for you. So write this down, John 3:18 for the caring part. It says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." So in other words, if you haven't believed, you're an unbeliever, that means you're lost. It doesn't mean you can ride a tightrope. Is anybody here familiar with the cartoons with Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner? This is not a life you can live like you're the Roadrunner. And you're going to stay in the elevator till it crashes at the bottom. And right before it crashes, step out. And you're all good. Friends, I don't believe I'd want to tempt God that way. The Bible says that you're condemned already, meaning you're born in sin, conceived in sin. You acquired sin because you're a great of Adam the first and Eve. They fell. You're in the fallen state. You simply need Jesus. You need the blood. He can do it in a moment's notice, like a flicker of a flame that starts a big fire.
That's right.
Starting to sound familiar.
Yeah.
And so, you care. The kind of care that puts you there for someone is realizing that your loved one or your friend or this stranger, someone, a soul God loves, is lost and needs help. That should put enough care in you to do something about it. That's enough. I should hear a big amen.
Amen to that.
This will never fly in America. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Look, I have to get beat up by this word before you do. Yeah? I can't teach it if I hadn't experienced it. Anyone who's preached knows it's like a big hammer to the minister before he can share it.
Yeah.
Amen. So finally we move on. Verse 4 says, "And when they could not come nigh to him for the press," they couldn't get in, they couldn't get close, "they uncovered the roof where he was at, and when they had broken it up," we're going to stop right there. You see, next thing happens, I can see him, I can hear him. The second C is creative. Write down creative. So you cared and now you're creative. I can hear him. One guy goes, "All right, let's look at this." He says, "You know, I own a roof company, the Capernaum Roof Company. And I know that roof style. And you know what? I know that we can dismantle that and put it back later and it won't harm a thing. And if we work together, we can probably get this man down in there right in front of Jesus." The others goes, "Really?" That one says, "Yeah." And they was, "Oh yeah, I've seen him do stuff like this. We can do this." So then they all kind of come in agreement. And you see, they get creative. God wants you to get creative. And He's the creator of creativity. He'll give you words of wisdom. He'll give you knowledge. He'll give you words of knowledge. He'll let you prophesy. He said all those gifts are available to you through the Holy Spirit, which is coming in a great way. So if He's coming in a great way and He expects a great harvest, He needs great workers that surrender and can hear His voice, because His sheep do what? Yeah, they know His voice. So now, with creativity, they know how they're going to get this loved one down in front of Jesus. Hallelujah! So then we move on. And let's look at, for the sake of it, 1 Corinthians 12 to back this up. Verses 12 and 13. For this creativity, we see the word says this. For, in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, "The body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are of one body, so also is Christ." And he goes on and on, and even 18, "For now hath God set the members, everyone in them in the body." He's got a position for you. You have a place. If everybody was alike, if we're exact carbon copies, we wouldn't be hands and feet and eyes and ears and hands and livers and kidneys and all the organs. You know what I'm saying? And finally he goes on, "It hath pleased God. He set you in the place that you belong." And verse 20 says, "And now there are many members, but one body." Friends, you got to get in oneness. Now, I'm talking the kind of oneness that's God kind of oneness.
Amen.
You know? You love each other.
Yeah.
If you aren't greeting and loving and hugging each other every time you gather, you're not going to be successful picking four of you to go out to do this mission. You hear me?
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to have that so that when people see you coming, you look like out of an American Western movie and there's four of you side by side with your 6 year old. You're coming to get somebody and you're going to get them before the Lord. I mean, you're made the sheriff in town together. And it takes all four of you because they tell you what, the adversary of that criminal, some cases, it just requires a little extra effort. You can do it one-on-one. Yeah. But get that guy up on the roof and letting him down, you might be in trouble.
Yeah.
All right. Turning back. All right. Where are we? Now. In the second part of verse 4, he says, "And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed, and therein the sick and the palsy lay." Number 3C is cooperation. Cooperate. You've cared, you're creative, but you've got to cooperate. And that's what we just highlighted and lit on. What happens is when a tough job comes, it requires more. It's physically not capable of you and I alone or even you and I together to let that man down safely with the tools we probably would have that man, right? But they found the rope, had a man knew how to remove the roof, they did things accordingly, and so they cooperated. When I see this, I see four men, one on each corner, holding rope, letting down the sick man right in front of Jesus in the middle of the meeting. Now that takes cooperation. My beloved friends, If you want to achieve the best that God has for you, learn to love each other enough to care together, to be creative together. And number 3, cooperate with each other.
Yes.
Cooperation. Cooperation means I'm not worried about my mutton stew cooking at home on the stove because I wasn't silly enough to leave it on the stove. Because God just might call you today to go do something for the Lord. It always gets quiet about here. You got to work together. You can't hold grudges with your loved ones and those you serve God. You can't hold their past against them and expect to be in cooperation in the spirit and love of God. You think God, Jesus Himself, would come along and say, "Hey, look, I need help with this. Come help me do this," right? He calls you to it. Alright? This is, by the way, I'm remembering, you know, when you did that mistake with What is that? I say it again. What is that? It's unforgiveness. Jesus forgave every one of you, every one of us, for every bad thing. Before we even did it, He had forgiveness ready. But when we ask forgiveness and repent, He washes us white as snow. The blood of Christ, that righteous and wonderful red crimson blood, the supreme sacrifice and price, gives you a garment. How does it? And you're washed white as snow. You need to begin to have your identity and see each other, not as your failures. This land is full of traditions and unforgiveness for past. Go make a difference.
Amen.
God would say through me to you, go be different.
Hallelujah.
And watch Him work so mightily. And if they bring up their own past out of guilt because of the way the traditions of the land are, say, no matter to me. That was then, this is now.
Amen.
My God reigns. My God's coming. My God's ordained. My God is God. Jesus, Jehovah Jireh. He's Yahweh, Yahshua, Yahashita. Hallelujah. And He's coming. And He needs you too.
Amen. Yeah.
If He can cleanse a leper and a man of palsy, what can He do for your petty sin?
Amen. So true.
Yes.
So true.
If you'll receive this word, God will change you, your family, your city, and your nation, and a continent, and the world. The world. He's the Savior of the world. You may feel insignificant. You may say, "Oh, what can I do?" Friend, you better get up in the morning and look in the mirror again. You need to address that reflection in the mirror. And if you're addressing your reflection in the mirror of God's Word, He'll clean you up. Father God, He says, come to me.
just like you do your own children, just like you were done when you were a child. He said, come here. Oh, you've been eating chocolate. You got it on your face. Ah, oh, there you are, my dear. Ah, oh, you've got a little sin here. Ah, oh, I see you. I see you. Ah, oh, yes, here's my blood.
Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord would say, get you some of that. Finally, moving on, we see this. They cooperated. And as that cooperation, I'm reminded, I'm going to back it up. I like to back it up. I like to have supporting actresses. Do you? I like to know if it's in God's Word. One place is probably somewhere else, or it might not hold much value. But every word of God holds value. It's finding the other places. And that causes that, it puts you to work. It puts you at task to know His Word. I'm going to help you today. And I remind you of this. In that cooperation, we just covered it. But now that God has set members in every one of them in one part. So in other words, I guess I'm supposed to remind you. Remember that you can't do it alone.
That's right.
There's a reason why. It's a reason why this man's gifted on the guitar. Yeah. This woman leads. Another woman does the words on the machine, you know. This one plays the drums. They have a part.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They have a part. You have a part. You work somewhere. You cook. You wait on others. You manufacture. You whatever your calling is, you see, you're gifted, and God wants to use that. But He wants you to be one, and not try to do it always alone. Cooperate. God really wants this point across, or I wouldn't be going over it again.
Yeah.
I think a failure to cooperate is the death of the church.
Yeah.
It truly is. And finally, when Jesus saw their faith in verse 5, He said unto the sick of the palsy. Let's look at their faith. Hang on a minute. Faith. Jesus said their faith. What? Hold on a minute. You mean to tell me that it wasn't the man who was sick of the palsy's faith that God's going to do this? You mean somebody that doesn't have any faith at all? Who's dumb and blind and ignorant to faith in God? Who has a horrible disease? Could be healed.
Amen.
God is pointing out to you and to me today that He does what He's getting ready to do and say, not based on the man who's sick, but based on four people who care, were creative, and cooperated. And finally, faith says a great word, says they were committed. They were committed. When you're committed in that fourth C, you now have formed a bond of service that God will intervene. And faith cometh by hearing the word. And faith applied without works is dead. So they heard it and had faith and brought the man. And then they acted upon their faith and worked and brought the man. That's a big hallelujah. Hallelujah! And so they did this thing, and Jesus said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Hold on a minute, Jesus. We brought a sick guy to you. And you're up and forgiven his sins. We haven't even got there yet. We haven't bombarded them with all the rituals and all the stuff of the church and beat them to a pulp with the word and just, you know, took them from here, from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation and from Alpha to Omega. We haven't done all that. How can you say you forgive his sins first? Because, you see, he's the Lord. And he's more concerned about your soul. And he's more concerned about the souls of Scotland. than he is even seeing the man sick get healed. Getting healed is secondary to the death of a soul. Mm-hmm. Hear me now.
Yeah.
The Lord's saying that even being healed from a sickness is secondary to a lost soul. So your job is to go out and to share Jesus. And it's by the faith that you act upon. The Lord will see and He'll operate. And so He does, and He tells him he's forgiven. And finally, to back this up, over in 2 Corinthians 5:15, the Word says that He died for who? All. No bigotry in all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but to Him which died for them and rose again. Look, salvation is a born-again experience that it will be taken note pretty quick, because the person will feel led to live for Jesus. That's what this says.
Yeah.
You'll see it, you'll witness it, you'll hear it. They'll begin to live for Jesus because they know they're free, and free indeed. They've been forgiven. Forgiveness will move mountains. Oh, yeah. And if I've seen one thing, Scotland, oh ye people of Scotland, you better come to the altar with your unforgiveness. There's a realm of unforgiveness in this land among its people. And that is not Christ-like. And there's no wonder nobody's coming or nobody's moving, because they don't see Jesus. Because they don't see unforgiveness. They don't see themselves forgiven. They look in the mirror and they see their sin. You got nobody telling them, you don't have to look in the mirror and see your sin, because my God can clean you up and He loves you. And in a moment's notice, in the flicker of a flame, and like a big fire that'll take off that's coming to this land, He'll sweep through and give forgiveness, and souls will be saved and lives will be changed.
Yes.
Hallelujah! Let's party! You see, God's love is more than enduring, it's supreme.
Yes.
No greater love than a man hath than to lay down his life for another. Quit worrying about what the church is going to think. Quit worrying about what the world's going to think if you do this or do you do that. Don't worry. Don't even worry about what you'll wear or your script, the Bible says.
Yes.
Pick up and go.
Amen.
And love them.
Jesus.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Jesus. And so we see here it comes. Now, I've taken you through the lessons. I've given you steps. I've given you tools for your toolbox. 4 C's. You care, creativity, cooperation, and commitment. Now, what are you going to be up against that you need to be ready and prepared for? Because when His power comes, He's not going to do it all by Himself. I mean, He's going to do it by His Spirit. But He'd like to have those who love Him enlisted. Are you enlisted today? I ask you. Don't answer me. You answer Him. Are you enlisted? Are you on the team? Are you a part of the body? Do you look in the mirror and see the blood-washed, forgiven person? It's good to look back and know that you've done sin, but it's more wondrous to see that He cleaned it up and He's forgiven you. Because when you get to heaven, you're not going to have to relive that mess. It died on the cross.
Hallelujah.
It went to the grave.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus built a bridge the only way He could, with 3 little nails and 2 pieces of wood. You see, He loves you. He loves you. And then the world will begin to speak. And I would cut it here, but you need this. So praise God, you're going to have to love me through it. In verse 6 it says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts." That's a problem already. You see, unaccepting to what they've witnessed. Unaccepting to Jesus forgiving the sins. Oh, now let's find something wrong with this situation. Oh, look at that. Oh, that church over there. Oh, all those people that. Oh, let's reason. Let's find something wrong. Let's go to picking at them. Let's go to disassembling them. Is that what Jesus did? No. But the Bible says that these scribes began to do this. And why doth this man, they say, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Who do you think you are? The Lord would say. God says, you're holy because I'm holy, because I'm in you and I make you holy because you receive my holiness. He didn't say you were holy to be God. To judge your neighbors and judge the churches and judge those who believe with all their hearts, with all their mind and all their soul. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I know you're the persecuted in this land. Don't kid me. Because I've been persecuted. Because of the Spirit of God. Can you see me? Downtown Edinburgh, Glasgow, standing on a podium in a, well, we'll say, the Church of the Nation, behaving and preaching the way I am. What would they think of me? Honestly, I don't care what they think of me. I hope they'd see Jesus. If I get the privilege, I'll go. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Who shall I fear? My bloodline is through Jesus, through David. If I remember right, he took five little stones in a sling and took out a giant. And he used the fifth one, by the way. I'm convinced because five is the number of grace, and grace killed Goliath.
Yeah.
The grace of God. And you have Goliath in your land and in your way. And you need to pick up your sling and five smoothing stones and go to war. You need to be soldiers of the cross and warriors of the kingdom. It's time to get off your haunches and go out and tell the world of this Holy Spirit that God is bringing and going to birth and change the land and change them. Hallelujah. You're commissioned. And finally, as we move on, we see and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, he said, in other words, he heard their nonsense. Jesus knows the nonsense. He hears it all. He heard you. He said, just the thought of a man, what's in a man's heart, he knows. He knows. So healing's coming for this, you see. And so Jesus says, why reason ye these things in your heart? Why do you trouble yourselves with it? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and take up your bed and walk. But that they may know in red, this is Jesus speaking, he's saying, and that they know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And it says, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say to you, arise and take up your bed and go thy way and go to your house. Friends, people are going to get healed when they get filled. When people get saved. When people can, in this case, can see get healed because others' faith.
Yeah.
Wonder working power. You want the supernatural, just go to work. You know why you don't see the supernatural? You know why if you want more of the supernatural and you're not seeing it? Because you're not doing this. I know it hurts. Who do you think he whipped first with this? Me. You think I came all this way? That it's something I've never done this before. I never crossed the Atlantic. I've seen all the Americas and been out in the Pacific, but I've never been here. I've been sick and beat down myself, and my God healed me and he raised me up to bring me here. How could I say no when he called me to come and he planted the seed 20 years ago in my heart? What you're receiving is a crop, a yield from a 20 plus year old seed. You need to say about now, I receive that. Because I guarantee you, you're a furrowed field and I'm planting that seed and a crop's going to grow and a harvest is coming and God's going to reap it.
Hallelujah.
But he needs harvesters.
Jesus.
He needs harvesters. You're a harvester. And beautiful you are. I have not met any of you that I've taken a distaste to. I'm impressed. In fact, I don't want to go building you up. Your head gets so big you won't be able to get out of the church today. You've been well schooled. You've been well taught. Pastor has taught you well. You've eaten off a good table. But they're too few. But that's going to change. The people outside these doors, they are hurting. They are needy. I, you know, I've had the privilege to testify in your streets and in businesses and places, and it's amazing. Last night I went about some fish and chips. I kind of like them. And so a young man and a young woman were listening to me, and they were intrigued, and they were jolly that I was here in America and so forth. And then though, when I told the young man, and the girl also said, you know, God loves you. The Lord loves you. And, you know, I as an American, I love you. Whew. Oh, my goodness. You can't say that. You see it. You see this little wall come down, a little covering come over the young man. You can't tell me that. Anybody hears that? Anybody hear that American stood there and told me that he loved me. No, guess what? I did. And I planted a seed. He'll never forget it.
Yeah.
The girl received it.
She did.
She served me lovingly. And she got a mighty fine tip.
Mm-hmm.
And she was shocked. And I asked the brother, and he said, oh, no, they don't tip in that place. You know, I said, well, like fast food in America. Yeah, I like that. You see, you're supposed to be generous. Many of you are. I don't think you fail or ail in this group to be generous. But don't be stingy with Jesus.
Right.
Hear me.
Yeah.
You can be the most giving and blessing people. But if you're not out sharing Jesus, if you're not giving away Jesus, it's pretty stingy. It's pretty stingy to come in here and be blessed and enjoy the peace and the and oh, just bask in the holiness of His glory. Well, there's a whole world of dying people outside these doors.
Praise God.
God's going to change that, and He's inviting you. He's not bullwhipping you. This word is to teach you. He's loving you. He's wooing you. He's saying, come with me and help me. You've only been stingy because you didn't know that you knew that you know. And you didn't realize what I'm getting ready to do. But now you do. And He says, I'll go before you. I'm a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He says, I'm going to help you. He said, just go and do. Just do. You know, the wonderful thing about serving God, there's no failure. You know, we get worried, all worried, dude. Lord, somebody tell you, quit worrying about making a mistake or how you might say it or, you know, just live it and go out and speak it. Smash your thumb on the job. Train yourself to go, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Somebody will witness it. And He'll do it. Because He'll give you the strength to be able to do such things. Yes. Yes. So finally, here it goes. Verse 12, and immediately he arose and took up the bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, you see, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now, he's speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees who were taken back and were amazed. And in Luke, I believe, chapter 9, verse 41, he speaks of a faithless generation. Beloved, hear me clearly. This land is full of religiosity. And there's only good reason. You've had great moves of God in the time when people fall away and they just walk through the motions. It becomes a practice. It's all about religion, and you lose relationship, because relationship is what you're after. And if you get the one relationship with Christ right, I promise you, every relationship in your life will line up. An alignment will take place with your family, your friends, your loved ones, with your workers. God will just start opening the heavens and blessing you because you have, number one, relationship with Him right. But you see, you can look to your countrymen. You can look and see the religious spirits. You can see people walking through the book, and they're sour pussies, and they're miserable, and they got no freedom. They've got no liberty. Oh, I'm taken back by what I've witnessed. Yes. You see, as an American coming over to this land, this homeland, this Scotland, some of the blood in my veins is from here. Very well could be in any one of you, a cell or two like me. Forgive me. It amazes me, in a land so famous and rich with the story of William Wallace, who fought to his death and dying words for freedom and liberty. Oh, in such ancient a day, on this very land in Scotland. Why would you think of yourself less? You're just as brave as William Wallace with Jesus.
That's right.
You've got to get it.
Hallelujah.
The love of God. The love of God that motivates a man. Deep and rich within his veins and his heart. Oh, ye Scotland. If you'll fight the good fight of faith and run the race of Christ with the blood of Jesus, William Wallace's tale will pale in the face of what God will do in your life. In the heavens, they'll be singing your name. They'll be chanting you and beating their armor and swords together. You can hear them now. I can hear you, Lord. I can hear the angels sing. I see that great cloud of witnesses. And they're watching. And they know that it is the Spirit of the Lord coming to raise up a great army in this land. And the names of everyone shall echo in the halls of heaven. And William Wallace will pale in adversity in comparison to what you're going to do in these people. In this hour, in this land. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You see, the religious were amazed. It's good to be in wonderment. I'm amazed all the time. It's not the same thing. They were amazed because they wouldn't have it any other way but their way. And then when God came along Himself, Jesus, and said, no, my way is that or the highway. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes you've got to allow yourself to bend so you won't break. Don't be so rigid and so religious that you cannot see the hand of God moving mightily. Because I tell you, He's not fixed to one spot or one place. He bends and He'll move around and through everything to accomplish the salvation of a soul.
Yes.
And He saved yours, didn't He? Yeah. It's good enough for me and you. It's good enough for all my sinful brothers and sisters in my nation. I'm going to bring you to a close.
Jesus. Glory.
In John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, the letters are in red because Jesus Himself, the Son of God, the Son of Man, is giving you a message. And this message goes along with why I'm here. For it says, nevertheless, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you. In other words, it's pertinent and important. It's of short manner and fashion. It's expedient. It has to take place now.
Yeah.
And He said, that way for you. That I go away, Jesus said. That if I not go away, the Comforter. Now for those of you who can not tolerate the name Holy Spirit nor Holy Ghost, the English language has put Comforter here for you. Yeah, that's funny, and it should be to those who know the Holy Spirit. Laugh, and laugh with great joy. It's true. Do you feel the joy? Do you feel the liberty? Do you feel the freedom in that? That's what God's gifted you with. That's who you are. And He says this. The Spirit, the Comforter, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you.
The world was lost to sin. The Father says, how am I going to fix this? Jesus volunteers and says, I'll go and set your people free. Ever hear that said before? Didn't Moses say that? Okay. Hear the Lord say to you, go and set my people free. Because I, the Lord Jesus, he says, I went in a hurry back to the Father. See, Jesus is set at the right hand of the Father. He's in there and as an advocate. The devil's still allowed, read the word, to come and go from the courtroom, from the throne room, and in the courts of heaven. The battle still rages, and Satan knows the word better than you do. Better than I do. He's been around a long time. And he brings up your sin and your past kind of like the thing that's going to be broken in your country. Hear me.
Wow.
The advocate, Jesus, is standing there and goes, ah, Father, the adversary who comes before the courts today in heaven and rails against this one and calls their sin out and knows it. And yes, it's true, Father. They did. It's their past. But see that garment? You see the garment that this one's wearing that I'm defending? He's mine because that's my blood. Blood bought. And I'm defending him before you because he came to court before me with the currency of heaven because he knows that I saved him. He knows that I've washed him in the blood and he bears the garment of white of salvation. And he's attending while this railer, while the devil, while Satan is over there accusing him. I tell you, Father, this one's clean.
Yes.
Forgiven.
Yes.
Healed.
Yes.
Filled.
Yes.
And sealed.
Yes.
Because that's the Holy Spirit in him. You see, Jesus is up there doing all this work on your behalf. But he says, in this scripture we just read, as he speaks, that I must go that you can receive the Comforter. And it's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit, the third person of God, dwells in a man. And the Word says that the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks every yoke.
Yes.
Every yoke. I remind you that in verse 13, it says, howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me. In verse 14. You see, the Holy Spirit, the reason that Jesus is saying this, it's for a verse I'm going to give you. It's the last verse. I'm saving the best for last. That's all good. I like it all. Even those ones you wanted to skip over, I like them. Because there's more in it. You keep turning it over and you'll get more. It's like having Jesus and you go out into the world and somebody needs it. And it's like nips or chips. What is it that you all like so much? You got a big bag of candy. You know, and you should. Oh, you want some Jesus? Yeah, but you never run out. You see, there's no running out with the Holy Spirit. He's filled you full. I am filled. You should practice this every day. Say it with me. I declare, I am filled.
I am healed.
And I am sealed by the
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
In that comes authority, identity in Christ. And he transforms your mind to have the mind of Christ. That's where the battle is.
Yes.
If you can't go around walking in doubt and fear. If you say if, you just cursed your promise.
Yeah.
Oh, if it be your will.
No.
Baloney.
Yeah,
it's not if it be his will. His will is his word. His word is his will. And it's not if, it's when. Oh, Lord, if I could take anything that thou hast given me and I could rip it from my spirit and I could take it from my soul, Lord. Oh, Lord, it's why I'm here. It's why you placed me here. It's my divine appointment, oh Lord. How I want to extend this gift and take it from me and just put it in and upon these who love you, Lord. All you have to do is say, I receive it.
I receive it, Lord.
Because, and I believe it.
I believe it.
Because you are Lord.
Because you are Lord.
And I am yours.
I am yours.
He says, you have not because you ask not. Crawl up in Abba, Papa, Father God's lap. Quit being beggars, the Spirit of God says to me to tell you. He says, I shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You're not a beggar. I've got your needs covered. The Lord says, I've got your needs. He says, I want to give you, like a good father, the desires of your heart to take away being a beggar and a pauper. You see, God's honored when you ask Him for the desires of your heart.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Because He loves His children.
Yes, Lord.
Would He give a child who's hungry a stone? Would He give him a serpent? The Word says no. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, 24. I want you to place this in your toolbox. And I want you to stand on it in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. And ask God to renew your mind and understand and obtain and hold on, hold fastly. For just as the commission asks us, the great commission in Matthew, to go into all the world. Matthew 16:24 says, If any man will come after me, Jesus says. If any man, and when I say that, that means women and children. It means all of us. It's not exclusive. In fact, you women were the first to find Jesus resurrected. He stopped on His ascension for a Mary. You know, He didn't stop for a man, but He stopped for a woman. He says, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended, but He stopped. You women are powerful. And know that the Lord has called you just as equally, if not, in fact, because the men aren't coming to their calling, step up to bat and go and watch our God reign.
Yes.
Show that, let the men be ashamed when they see how fiery and how well-tooled and equipped God has made you. He said He could make a donkey talk. I think He likes the ladies.
Oh, yes.
He said that He would make the hills and the rocks cry out. And I'm sure, instead of waiting on lazy men who are incompetent and won't come to their call, He'll be well pleased with you, ladies. Ah, you get it, sister. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You see, this is the hard part. We begin to like and love our life so much in this world, but we fail to understand that everything we see with our naked eye is temporal, meaning it will pass away. God said that He cleansed the earth by flood and by water once, and He promises to do it again by fire, which means even this clay earthen vessel in which you bear that's a temple shall also pass away. Everything you see. But the promise is the eternal. And God says the eternal things, three most biggest ones, are faith, hope, and love. And love is the greater of the three. So now we've come full circle back to love. Amazing, isn't it? No matter where you start in God's Word, the crimson thread of God's blood is all about the love from front to back. From Alpha to Omega. Yes. He who was in charge of time before it was measured for our account shall be in charge when time is measured no more into the eternity. No more darkness, no more sorrow, for the sun truly will be the sun, for God is light. Hallelujah. And I'll throw this one in for free. The sun is what it is, but you're a moon, and the moon is only lit by being a good reflection of the sun's light. So why don't you become a moon and shine with the reflection of the true sun, Jesus' light, and light up the darkness in a world that's fallen to sin. And he says, deny himself. This is what's required to do it. You've got to give up your selfish desires and let go of earthly things. It doesn't mean you have to tear down and sell your house and all this. You know, just listen to the Lord. He'll instruct you clearly. Maybe he does choose to move you and sell your home. That might be. But that's between you and he.
Oh, glory.
Yes. But he says the next thing is what I found so powerful about this verse. And take up his cross and follow me.
Jesus.
Follow him in love. Follow him in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Work together.
Yeah.
Caring for others. Creativeness for others in Jesus' name. Cooperating together in Jesus' name. And being committed to finish the job. Don't fall short. You're so close right now. I sit here to tell you, you're on the verge. You're on the edge. The wave that I come to tell you is coming is here. It's begun.
Yeah.
Believe it and receive it. And he, in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, my favorite verse, faithful is he who called you, and he will do it. How do you think I got here before you today? He did it.
Yeah.
By his Spirit. I'm still pinching myself. I'm not sure I realized I was really here unless I get home and study the pictures. Yes. Oh, you think I'm... No, I'm being serious.
I know you are.
You see, God has become so real to me. He's more real to me, I can earnestly tell you, than you are to me. Because God is Spirit, and His Spirit dwells in me. And it's not that I'm better. It's not that I'm more of this or more of that. No, I'm just an old cowboy. Been broken down, but raised up by the power and the hand of God. And He bears witness, and He's shown me His love. And I've embraced His love, and I've grown in that. If there anything be about me that's worthy, if there be anything you see that you like, I plead with you, let it be Jesus.
Amen.
I'm just a man. I'm just a man. And so was William Wallace.
Yeah.
But in saying I'm just a man, I have authority of Jesus.
Right.
And through the order of Melchizedek, I'm a king and a priest, he says. Because he came from through the tribe of Judah. And I received his blood and accepted him as Lord. The DNA in my blood is forever changed. You see, I'm grafted in, or adoption, the Bible says, to the tribe of Judah. So I now am as Jewish as a Jewish man on the other side of the world truly is. Because my Savior's Jewish. I'm going to a Jewish wedding feast. Hallelujah. Get over it. It ain't going to be bagpipes and plaid. Won't be cowboy hats and spurs for me either. But when you deny yourself, the key thing about this verse and following him, it tells us to take up his cross. The last time I looked, beloved, the cross is an instrument of death. So few are willing to surrender to God in such a way that they will die to self. And God said it's a requirement. You must die that I must live.
Amen.
May man, every man be a liar, but God be true. Let man lay low, but God, Jesus, be lifted up.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross.
Jesus.
Pick up your cross. And follow Jesus. And watch the hand of Almighty God move the mountains and part the seas and give you wings of eagles, like we sang, and be lifted up on the loftiness of the Spirit of God. And miss not your mark. Miss not your purpose. Miss not your calling. I speak absolute. You can hear and see and know and feel the will and the word of God to show you your purpose in the kingdom's business. And I tell you this, without any reservation, if you're not about soul business as a Christian, you're in the wrong business. That's why we're here.
Amen.
He saved a wretch like me. My beloved friends, shame is a form of fear. Worry and doubt is a form of fear. Tools of the adversary, and most of all, pride. Pride cometh before a fall. Pride stops a man, a woman. Pride gets in the way. I've got the root of it's just the root of pride is fear.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to see me going to that church. I don't want anybody to see me praying in the Spirit. I might get sick. That kind of pride is fear. What do you, whom do you fear? What weapon formed against you is going to prosper because you're obedient? Shall you end up in jail like Paul and Silas? Seems to me they got out.
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid the king of your land will find out that you love and trust this God and he's jealous as a king? And throws you in a den full of lions like Daniel. Really?
Yeah.
My beloved friends, Daniel crawled out of the den.
Mm-hmm.
So shall you.
Yeah.
You see my temperature rise. I know what it feels like to be Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. If only I could be so worthy. If only I could stand so diligent and refuse to partake of the king's good and follow the King of Kings. Yeah, the oven was turned up how many times hotter? What, seven? I think somebody did it in here. But the next day, when the land's king came to look upon these three young men, they opened that door of that furnace seven times its normal heat. It's hotter than your stove and your den and your living rooms. It started with an ember. And the king, he said, it can't be. He turns and says, did we only put three in there? Because I see a fourth, and it looketh like the Son of Man and Son of God. You see, Jesus won't let you go through the furnaces of the torment of what you think it'll be. The Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. You can't do that in the presence of tobacco, peat, or fireworks. But God can.
Amen.
this message encourages you. If you do not find it encouraging, you should seek why. Because God's promised you so much more than this little message of mine, no matter how long-winded it appears to you. God wants to change you, change your land,
yeah,
and change your people.
Yeah.
Your continent, and greater than that,
Jesus.
He's after the world.
Right.
He made the whole world. In His hands, He's got the whole world. In His hands, He's got the whole world. In His hands, He's got the whole world in His hands. Father God, we come before You and we thank You and we embrace You. We ask You to come and clean us up, Lord. Look down into the depths of our heart. Forgive us of our trespasses personally. Let us pull the moat. Father, Jesus, pull, Holy Spirit, pull the moat out of my own eye so I can be clean and prepared to give my testimony before others about how good and the goodness of the Lord is. Help us each and search us, Lord. Search our spirits and our minds. Go to work and diligently do these things that we can be used so that, Lord, when we go out from this place and from the days ahead to see Your glorious power of You, Holy Spirit, poured out once again upon our land, we're expected, we're pregnant, and we believe and we receive and how mighty You are, and by Your Spirit, not by power and personal might, but just our surrendered ability to be in Your hands, Lord. I pray that these become Your instruments of obedience. And use them wonderfully, Lord.
Yeah.
And Lord, even without any selfishness, I say, oh, how we await in America. Oh, we've been so blessed, Lord. I'm here. Part of the reason, too, I know, because of all the blessings of the years gone by, that Scotland has blessed America.
Yes, Lord.
Thank You for George Whitefield Whitfield during the 1700s and using him and that revival awakening moved even to the Americas. Thank You for when D.L. Moody was allowed to be used in Glasgow in the 1800s, Lord, and we too in America received the goodness of that. And how even at the Hebrides, the revival that we would celebrate the 70th anniversary, America was blessed by that. Oh, Lord Jesus, how much more in this hour, when the former and latter rain are poured out in the next few months with expectancy upon this isle, how much more will You come to a thirsty and dry and hungry land of America? And Father, I thank You for these who will be diligent. And they carry the torch. With a flicker, we light the flame today. Now, O Lord, set them ablaze. Set this land ablaze. And like in Luke, for my brother, did not our hearts burn, Lord? In Your name, in Jesus' name,
amen.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
As the music began to play, Brother, would you kind of twinkle the guitar for a moment? I don't know what your traditions are.